Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are virtual, folks. We're not inside Renaissance Bank as we normally are, but this just in. I was speaking with someone at Renaissance yesterday about the renewal of the PPP loan program, and they're rocking and rolling over there. And folks, my experience with Renaissance last year was awesome, and so was that of my clients. They actually worked with non-bank clients, and a lot of banks didn't do that. Renaissance also big enough to handle your general banking needs, pretty much anything you can throw at them, but small enough to do it in a personal way. So here's what I suggest. If you've got issues with your bank, want to try something different, go to renaissancebank.com, find the office nearest you. They've got some 200 across the South ready to serve you, and pick up the phone and give them a call. And you won't get somebody over in, eight states over that can't deal with you personally. You'll actually get a live person you can go in and speak with. So check them out. I'll think you'll be glad you did. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Paul Sansone, and Paul is with TechCXO. Paul, welcome.
Hey, John, thanks. Appreciate being on the show.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So tell us a little bit about you and TechCXO. How are you serving folks out there?
Yeah, thanks. We're TechCXO. For those of you who may not know about us, we are a professional services firm for on-demand C-level executives. So if you're a small or medium-sized business that might have issues related to someone who might be like a CFO, but you can't afford a full-time CFO, you would call TechCXO. And we used to be TechCFO, but we branded out. So we've got all the different C-suites, chief marketing officers, chief information officers, chief technology officers. So any C-suite need that you need with an on-demand executive, that's what TechCXO provides.
And also, we were talking briefly about this before we came on. This is not your expertise, but TechCXO also has fractional human resource officers as well, which I find very interesting. We'll have to follow up on that in an age when that's needed as much as ever for a lot of firms, right? So that's just throwing that out there, folks, for you to know that. But let's talk about you specifically, Paul, and why don't you've got quite a varied background that you bring to your clients as a fractional CFO.
Yes, John, thanks. I'm just a career finance professional. I started out in public accounting many years ago and then have just been on the CFO track. So I've been in finance and accounting for over 30 years, but for 20 of those years, I've been a CFO actually in multiple organizations. I came to Atlanta as a CFO of a division within Scientific Atlanta and was there for a long time, a high tech company that was part of the tech sector lore of Atlanta. Was there for 11 years through the acquisition by Cisco Systems. And then moved into that background in high tech and manufacturing, helped me with my next company, which was an e-commerce company based in Alpharetta. And I was a CFO there for 6 years. And then at that point, I really wanted to do something mission driven. After my experience with the e-commerce company, which was also mission driven, I got the chance to be CFO of the Boys and Girls Clubs of America, the national organization that's headquartered in Midtown. Mm. A lot of the executives that I worked with at Scientific Atlanta and Cisco had moved into a firm called TechCXO. So they started to call me. There were four partners in the firm who had been executive levels in my career at Scientific Atlanta and Cisco, and they basically actively recruited me to join TechCXO, and I've been there for 4 years and love every minute of it. So it's been a great move for me.
That's great. Quite a varied background. And as you were mentioning before we came on, you deal with a variety of clients today.
Yeah. So we have TechCXO has over 1,200 clients. You know, I personally have six to eight that I'm actively working on in different sectors, leveraging my background and experiences as all the partners do. You know, we can bring our skill set to the table. One good thing about finance and accounting, though, that the skill set is fungible. The knowledge of the industry is really helpful. So what I've got is basically I've kind of aligned my clients to my past experiences, either in manufacturing, distribution, high tech, or I've actually got a few nonprofit clients from my time with the Boys and Girls Club. So we just try to help out exactly what our, you know, accelerate our clients to what they need and really just help them advance their strategies.
Let's talk a little bit about nonprofits for a second. I mean, since that's an area of expertise for you, what are some of the current issues that you see for nonprofits in 2021?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, 2020 was a difficult, challenging year for a lot of nonprofits, especially on the resource development, the fundraising side, right? Because of what had taken place with COVID. So some of the things, that we try to help with on strategy is, you know, let's think outside the box a little bit on what could be the best way to carry on the mission of those nonprofits. And you might start to see some, you know, you may start to see some M&A activity, you know, between nonprofits, some merger activity so that they can be more sustainable for the long run and help develop that mission. I think what you might, which is traditionally not something you see in nonprofit a lot, but I've seen it start to happen where now to be more sustainable because of the challenging environment, folks are joining together to ensure their mission's delivered. So that might be something to watch for in 2021.
That's quite interesting. I mean, we could talk about this for a while from my perspective, but it sounds like what's happened in previous years to lead to this point is that a lot of nonprofits got started that really were maybe too narrowly focused on one particular area and creating a whole lot of different nonprofits serving the same area. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
Well, perhaps, you know, really a lot of the nonprofits that are started by, you know, they're really entrepreneurial ventures, just like the for-profits are in the tech space, right?
Sure.
So they're a strategy and an innovation from a founder that says that there's a need here.
Right.
And what's, you know, when I was CFO of the e-commerce company, it was called Better World Books, and it was based in Alpharetta. We were an e-commerce company with a mission to help fight illiteracy, but we were a for-profit. The founders really struggled with how do we organize? Should we be a nonprofit? Should we be a for-profit? Is it more sustainable to be a for-profit? Can we have a mission as a for-profit? And we found out that there was a way to advance that. So I think what ends up happening is, you know, the entrepreneur, even if it is a nonprofit entrepreneur, has a vision of where it goes and how to serve that market. What you end up seeing, though, is how sustainable is that organization over the long term? And if you're constantly, you know, constantly requiring grants or donations or charitable revenue sources, that might be more challenging over the long term. So you see something like a Goodwill with Jonathan Reckford as the CEO there. He's an amazing entrepreneur, really. He's at Habitat for Humanity. They've got other businesses, but they've got stores now, right? So Habitat actually has stores and Goodwill has stores, right? So there's other ways within the nonprofit space to create revenue streams to help your business.
Sure, sure. So let's get back over into the for-profit world. Talk about some of the issues that you see your clients and prospective clients are struggling with this year that you help with.
I think I've said this in a couple other calls that what I've noticed since COVID that's really been challenging, you know, it's really created this barbell economy where there's been some clear winners and some clear organizations that have been challenged by everything that has happened surrounding COVID. The ones that have the most challenges obviously are in the, you know, some of the obvious retail sectors, but I think the ones that are hidden a little bit are the companies that do B2B business, where they have those long tail sales cycles, right? So those ones that might take 6 months, a year for a client to install a new system or to do a huge capital upgrade, those sales cycles have lengthened due to COVID, right? Mm. So getting people's attention, you know, there's burning platforms happening within the organization they have to attend to. So those sales cycles where you typically could either meet face-to-face or could be in the normal course of business are being delayed. And so you see some of the clients that I'm working with that have those complex system sales are challenged as well because of buy cycles and really the traditional back and forth that a sales cycle has. So I've seen that impact a lot of B2B companies as well.
Hmm. And so talk a little bit about, I guess, liquidity, capital, those are issues that you obviously help companies deal with, particularly on a fractional basis, because you bring in that expertise they don't have. Talk about some of those issues that they're that you see and how that plays out in 2021.
Great question. So we at TechCXO, you know, from a PPP program standpoint that you brought up at the beginning of the call, you know, this was a new program for everybody, right? A little over, you know, March of 2020, we set up a deals desk within TechCXO to help all of our clients with those applications. And so getting resources to them, getting information, templates on how to do the calculation. So we were right in the trenches with helping those clients get PPP loans. I had 9 clients at the time go through the PPP process and was helping them navigate that process, either through the calculations and the requirements, the forms, the supporting documentation. So, you know, the PPP was actually probably one of the greatest economic stimulus packages in the history of the country to get funding out to small and medium-sized businesses. And we were at the forefront to help our clients do that. And now we're gearing up again for this round that just got announced. And we're starting to now communicate with the banks to make sure their portals are open. And so when our clients can get access to capital, you know, we've been very successful project managing this in the last round. We were hopeful that we can be successful this round as well.
Sure. Folks, we're here with Paul Sansone, and Paul is a fractional CFO with TechCXO, a partnership of a lot of different fractional executives, C-level executives. Paul, let's talk a little bit about, before I leave financing, let's talk about forecasting, because that's one of the things that I hear from folks is, how do you forecast in an environment like this? I mean, some folks, you know, think with the vaccine, things are going to be better, faster, and then others don't. What's your perspective on how to forecast in 2021?
Yeah, that's, John, it's a great question. I was recently at saw a conference on this from economists, and even those folks that are forecasting every day with their careers, they have said a lot of us in the economic forecasting industry are, you know, we agree where things are with the economy 3 years out because we see a lot of fundamental strength. What we don't agree on is 0 to 3 years, right? Because they just don't have the visibility. So for the first time, it's inverted. We all feel like we've got better visibility longer term than we actually do short term on how COVID and the related impacts affects different segments of the economy. So from a brass tack standpoint within TechCXO, we are with our clients every day trying to help them understand the business climate, the environment they're in, and helping as a CFO, providing those financial forecasts to help them have a revised roadmap of where they need to go, given the uncertainty, right? So we can go through a lot of scenario planning. We go through what the financial impacts can look like. What is the success of excess funding or alternative areas of funding? If we can get that, what are the strategies we can deploy? So we're working arm in arm with our clients And, you know, I would suggest if you don't have a robust financial forecast to all the companies that may be listening, you know, that's something that's really a fundamental key control of running the company that you're in or organization, because, you know, without that roadmap of where you think you can go, you're really flying blind to some extent. You know, a financial plan is usually good when you finish it, but then it starts to get degrade in relevancy over course of time, right? So if you think about last year, if you finished a financial plan in January of 2020, by March, it was kind of out the window. So the capability to forecast is actually probably, and to pivot is probably more important than actually the financial planning process.
Wow. That's an interesting comment, which makes a ton of sense. And I guess, you know, one of the things that I wonder and what your thoughts on this are is just how you work with clients to keep that forecast fresh, because some folks, you know, they do their budget in November, December for the following year, and that's kind of what it is, you know, for the entire year. And it seems like the environment we're in really calls for something a little more dynamic than that.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, so there's things that, you know, that we try to instill with our clients. What are some of the real tangible, you know, KPIs, key performance indicators, right, every day that you need to understand on the trajectory of your business? So how can we, you know, typically the things that I try to focus on with my clients, you know, sales and cash, right? Those are the two lifeblood things of businesses. So if you can get a daily report on that, how did we sell yesterday? How was our cash collection and spend yesterday? Right. So you understand. So there's a component of knowing where you are every day in a scorecard type environment. And then we accountants are really good at doing month end closes. Right. So after every month end, we want to be able to project out, OK, after this month end, how do we blend out the forecast for the full year? You know, that's an exercise that I try to do. And so you're constantly doing every 30 days a rolling financial forecast. But that, you know, the KPIs are coming very regularly, right? So there's some things you can do on a daily basis, a weekly basis, and then a monthly basis to make sure that you've got both hands on the steering wheel.
Let's talk a little bit about and you referenced mergers within the nonprofit sector. I'm interested in your thoughts on what you see in the for-profit sector and what the environment would be for acquisitions, the role of private equity firms, where they are in their liquidity and ability to do that, what they're looking for, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a great question too. You know, I'm working with a few clients that have either recently been acquired or are in discussions with firms. So deal flow is still happening. It's happening differently than we've ever seen it before, just in the way that it's processed with a lot of calls like this, a lot of Zoom calls, a lot of trying to get a potential acquirer comfortable with management and leadership doing, you know, all distance or digital information flow. So, but it is still a robust environment for M&A activity, right? So I don't know the specific metrics, but we're seeing our clients still in discussions with potential partners. The process may be different than we've ever seen before, but those deals are still happening.
Gotcha. Paul, let's chat a little bit more about, I guess, some of the operational issues that you help with along the way. You've got a lot of that in your background. Is that something that's part that you bring in from the finance perspective?
Yeah, I've always been, leaned in my career to be an operating CFO, right? So if there is specific operations, you know, my first job out of business school was a cost accounting role, right? So how did our manufacturing plant know how to cost its product? I came out of grad school and worked at IBM when the manufacturing was still in North America. So I spent 6 years with IBM in Research Triangle Park and was basically there in various roles to support operations, right? Distribution, manufacturing, you know, getting my teeth cut in a warehouse and an operating facility. So yeah, so I've always been an operating CFO in that regard. and bridging different experiences along the way. So when I, for example, when I was CFO of an e-commerce company, you know, it was a high tech, digitally enabled operation, right? So everything related to transactions was business to consumer, but we had a 300,000 square foot warehouse that had to ship product every day. So yeah, just blending a lot of different experiences and just being, you know, focused on how do we end up improving the results? How do we accelerate EBITDA and profit?
Folks, we're here chatting with Paul Sansone, and Paul is a fractional chief financial officer with Tech CXO. Paul, let's address those companies that think they may need a fractional CFO and are not sure. They may know what that means. They're not sure if they need one or not. I mean, what are the characteristics of a company that needs a fractional CFO?
Yeah, that's a great question, John. We end up seeing a lot of companies that have probably grown up to be something of material operational size, and they might have a bookkeeper or someone who is doing the accounting records. And that might be a full-time job to do all that transactional work. What they may be missing is, hey, I've got to negotiate a credit line with a bank. I'm not really sure how to do that. And my bookkeeper probably doesn't, because he or she is so focused on the transactional work that they probably might not be able to do that either. So if you start looking at some of the CFO related issues of finding capital or working with banks or strategic planning or higher level financial analysis. So there's many kind of things that, you know, that if the CEO is doing that work, then maybe it's time to help have them at their highest and best use and add a fractional executive to help them with those issues that they might be doing that aren't specifically business development or the vision of the company. So what ends up happening is we have a lot of clients that'll say, hey, I'm doing this, but we just don't have that resource here. Can you help us? And the great thing about Tech CXO, you know, we're a firm of about 100, almost 100 partners. You know, our networks are pretty far and wide, even within the partnership group of folks that we can make warm introductions to and connections to, or just the capability to solve issues with, hey, this may be a good fit for your issue. Let's start to, you know, dive deep on it. So what we end up seeing is if the CEOs or the entrepreneurs or the leaders of those organizations are in multiple lanes, that might be indicative of, hey, you know, let's divide and conquer here. Let's bring in a fractional executive to help on these matters that I might not have expertise on, nor should I really be focused on that, right? So if they're doing journal entries to close the books and they're trying to grow the business, that's not the best use of their time either. So, or maybe writing an employee handbook might not be the highest and best use of their time as well. So we can bring that experience to bear at a fractional level and help accelerate them in those functions that may be blind spots.
Yeah. And I think what you're trying to say in a modest way, if I can say that, is you bring a lot of expertise to the table that people don't have to pay, I guess, the full bore for, right? I mean, they can pay for what they get, but they don't have to hire you, you know, on a full-time basis when they really can't afford that, but they get a lot more expertise for the dollar.
Yeah, that's right. It's a pay by the cup model, right? So it's a fractional model, just like you would hire, if you didn't have an inside attorney, you would go out and hire an outside attorney, right? So you would go out and find that expertise that you need. And we just try to accelerate because we're used to jumping in and helping out this, you know, immediately, very quickly, right? So we understand your business, vet your priorities very quickly, and say, here are the three things that I'm going to go work on with my fractional hours this week or this month. And so, you know, as I've gotten, you know, some engagements are helping coach new CFOs. And some engagements are all the way to being on the Secretary of State as being an officer of the company, but at a fractional level, right? So I might work a few days a week with some clients, and I might work one day a quarter with some others. Right. So we just try to bring expertise and help accelerate the folks in the firm. So, and we're just bringing to bear all of our experience.
Paul, this has been great. It's been a pleasure having you on. As we close here, though, we've got just a little more time, and I'd really appreciate you. Obviously, you don't have to share names unless you're able to, but would love it if you could share a success story, a situation where your intervention, your work with them, is something you're particularly proud of in terms of the results you gave for them.
That's a great question. You know, for me personally, I've been with the firm 4 years, and I've seen a lot of successes across a lot of the clients that we work with, you know, to the point where one has grown so much that they've said, Paul, we're getting a full-time CFO. We've grown so much. And so being there and watching that growth has been really rewarding. One of them, specifically a client that I work with, was basically going through an acquisition when I started working with them. They were already being approached by a firm to be acquired. And I tried to help navigate them through 2 months of due diligence. And one of the real refreshing success stories there, John, was that after the process, the acquiring company approached me about, would you be a fractional CFO for the combined entities now? Right. So I didn't have a relationship with the acquiring company, but through the process, they asked if I would be interested in now leading the organization in finance and accounting for the combined companies. And so that's really rewarding how we can show our value. Even when we're on the sell side of a buy side acquisition, we can come in afterwards. And now the folks there saw the value. They had never heard of TechCXO. And I just have been engaged with them now for, it's coming up on 2 years since that acquisition and that transition took place. So just really proud of that, because we can show the value from both sides of the transaction.
That's awesome. Great work. Congratulations on that. And the other successes you've had. Paul, again, thanks so much for coming on the show. But before we let you go, we got to get to the most important question, which is, how do people get in touch with you that have heard something that sparks something for them that makes them want to discuss it with you?
Yeah, John, probably the best way to go to contact me or any of our great partners within the firm is to go to our website at techcxo.com, and you'll see the front page, landing page. But you can also do a search on me, Paul Sansone, or any of the experience sets that you're really looking for. So if you want sales and marketing expertise or operations expertise or human resources expertise, you can locate those partners and their profiles on our site. And then, you know, all of our contact information is listed there. You can just reach out to us through that. And then we're happy to respond and be available to help.
Terrific. Paul Sansone has been with us, folks, with TechCXO. Paul, thanks so much for being with us.
John, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on today.
It's our pleasure. Folks, if you've got some, speaking of fractional, if you've got some issues that involve administrative tasks that you need to get off your plate, if you've got some bookkeeping issues you need to get off your plate, my suggestion is giving Essie Escobedo over at Office Angels a call. She does some awesome work. I mean, she works on, helps me on my business. If I've got something I need to get off my plate, I give Essie a call. And I call her at 770-442-9246, and she finds an angel in her team that flies in, they get the job done, and they fly out, and they do it on an ongoing or as-needed basis. And they do a lot of the kinds of things that I really should not spend my time on, and I know you have some of those things as well. So if you do, give her a call. If you're timid, go to officeangels.us and check her out there. But my suggestion is just give her a call and tell her I sent you, and she'll be glad to hear from you. And folks, we would love it if you would connect with us on social media. North Fulton BRX is the search term, or the handle there on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. And we would also really appreciate it even more if you would go to your favorite podcast app, and we're on all of them. North Fulton Business Radio is a search term on those apps, and find the show, subscribe, and most importantly, give us a great review, like a 5-star review. And the reason is because it helps people find the show to find our guest. It's not about me. It's not about Business Radio X. It's about promoting our guest, the great work they do in serving the clients they do, and helping other folks find them so they can access their needed services. So if you could do that for us, we would greatly appreciate it. And for my guest, Paul Sansone, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.